Blog Talk Radio.
California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConcert.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Breeders and Fruit Workers, Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. Together, y'all, they will take your call and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodoos of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and then called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a quick moment, but first let's catch up with our co-host, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, Miss Tammy.
Hi.
Well, another day with technical problems.
Yep.
Right now, people are in the chat room saying no sound, and they're being kicked out of the chat room, and one thing and another. But we're here. We're trying to get it together. So welcome, everybody, but it's kind of crazy. If you have logged in and have no sound, this is to the people to the chat room. If you've logged in and have no sound, just refresh your page. I just got kicked out of the chat room after making a couple of posts. So, oops, and now I'm back in again. So Blog Talk is being its usual uncooperative self, and we are really considering going to another service. I hope they hear that. We do pay for this service. This is not like Skype where it's free. Anyway, enough griping. But this has been like the eighth or ninth week in a row that we've had some serious issues with Blog Talk Radio, and we don't know why. They cannot address them, and they're always different issues. So I hope they hear this and know how unhappy we are. Because, like I said, we pay for this. All right. I'm a little out of breath because I'm just in from the outdoors. And I want to report on one of the most interesting conjure events of this year for me. I have a friend, customer, and client, probably in that order. I think he started as a customer, became a client, and then became a friend. But now I count him as friend first. His name is Steve. And I've known Steve and his late wife, Melanie, for many, many, many years. Melanie was a tarot card reader, a local tarot card reader. She had read all over the place. She was an older lady, about my age, maybe a little bit older. Steve and she were just a very happy couple, lived together for many, many years, and she became ill. And I would read for them and read for her on her health situation, which was, you know, we knew what was happening. It was not good. And I read for them, and Steve was injured in the job, and he was out of work because of it. He had workman's comp and one thing and another. And, well, things hit Steve real hard. Melanie did pass away, and then Steve didn't have employment. So, actually, he went from being a client and a customer to being an employee temporarily. I hired him around the place. He's very good with plants. And then, you know, I did some root work for him and some prayer work for him to get a job. He really needed a steady job. And I didn't hear from him for about 6 months. And, well, the strange thing was that he had gotten a job, and he is working for a wholesale nursery. So while working for that nursery, this place is wholesale, and they distribute plants, to big wineries around here and resorts, hotels. These are places that have, whole staffs of gardeners, and they, they plant, 2,000 of this and 5,000 of that, and, make a nice show for their guests. And when a plant is grown out, which by which they mean it started to bloom in the pot, and they can't sell them. They're not tip-top shape, perfect. They're a little older. But they're perfect for me. And Steve came by to tell me that he had gotten a job and that he was working at this nursery. And by the way, here are 14 flats of blooming plants. you can do the math. That's six plants, six four-inch pots per flat. That's 224 plants. But actually, many of them were six-packs, I found out as I began to take them apart. So we're sitting on about 500 plants, okay, just conservatively. And we're planting them. And we've been doing this for the last couple of days. Nagashiva, Dave Scar, who works at Lucky Mojo's, turns out to be a good gardener, and me. And we have put in hundreds of zinnias. I think just hundreds of zinnias. Not the plant I would pick. I would not pick pom-pom zinnias, but, you can't look a free zinnia in the mouth, as they say. And now we're on to the marigolds. We have lobelias. We have little exotic perennials I've never heard of. So when we have our railroad open house, which is next Sunday, and I will not be on the show because I'm holding an open house. This is an event to any hoodoo person is welcome. Anybody is welcome, but it's for the trained people. And we're having a barbecue, free food. Come on out. And if you are in the neighborhood and want to visit Lucky Mojo, watch the trains run. Look at the zinnias blooming. June 29th, 2014, that's your day. We only do this once a year for the train club, and it's just one of those gifts. So why do I call that a conjure event? Well, I was taught growing up that if you do a good deed, it comes around. And I guess I did some good deeds. I guess I got some points in heaven, and I believe in heaven on earth, and I now have 500 zinnias and marigolds because of having done some root work and taking care of my friends. And so that's just a little blessing from God. So with that, and anybody who wants to get their hands dirty and wants to garden, please come out. I haven't planted anything yet. We got tons of planting. I mean, it's just overwhelming. All right, how are you today, Ali?
I'm doing lovely. That's a very fascinating story and very interesting. And I do hope that we get a little bit of an update when you come back from hosting the event and let us know how things went. And it sounds like it's lots of fun. It sounds like it's going to be fun.
It will be. If I had the technical wherewithal, I would broadcast on the radio show from the layout and stuff at the party, like Candela was doing at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. But I'm, not that technically adept. And right now, by the way, I've been kicked out of chat, so my dear husband has come in and trying to find why I'm not in the chat. It's just not there, honey. So excuse me for going off topic there. But in any case, it's going to be lovely. And I may come running in and call in and have Ali say hi to me. Okay, how about that? I just can't be gone for an hour and a half from my party. You know what I'm saying?
Completely understand. It's a party. I would do the same if I was hosting.
Yeah, it's going to be a delight. At about 20 or 30 trained people show up at any given time, about 40 during the course of the day usually. And so that's the that's the event as it is. Of course, all of the Lucky Mojo staff are going to be hanging around, and we'll have Al Tillman's going to come out, and he said he'd barbecue chicken. Don and Becky Herzog are going to grill hot dogs, and they're going to help out. I mean, this is a railroad people are real cooperative with each other. They all help each other out. Kind of like hoodoo people at their best.
Very cool. Well, I have a very brief but quick little announcement on my end. For a while now, people have been asking me about the difference between geomancy as it's practiced in the European tradition and now in the United States versus how I was trained in geomancy, which is traditionally known as Chatal Ramal or Ilmal Ramal, which just means knowledge of the sands or sand cutting. And I have written a blog post which details some of the differences. For those who are interested in geomancy and knowing the differences between Western geomancy and North African or Arabic geomancy, I've done a really quick kind of 10-point, here is kind of a survey of the differences. And I'm going to post that in the chat room. You can go to my blog and see it, and I'll also post it at the air. Facebook page. Just a really short piece, but it is interesting for those who are, you know, interested in that.
That's wonderful, Ali. You know, people do ask about that. And there's also that astrogeomancy out of England. And that's different, too.
There is a variety of different traditions. And even in Chatal Ramal itself, it can be divided up further. We have a tendency to look at divination as a monolithic thing, but even then there's some very, very big differences. And I, for example, differentiate between African geomancy, Levantine or Arabic geomancy, and then South Asian geomancy as it's practiced in Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and India. So there are some differences, and I highlight that in this little blog post.
Wonderful. I think this is a... you know, there's a subject for a book in that. Seriously, you know, because also there's the African Hakata, which, as some say, has a same mathematical system. We don't know. There is no proof that Hakata was developed from Arabic geomancy or vice versa. We have no smoking gun.
Right,
and,
but they're
of course,
in the same family, so along with Sikidi, which is very similar as well. They all kind of have it. We don't know where the origins are, but they're in that same family.
Right. Well, I call them the 16s because they're all based around 16. So mathematically, anyone could have come up with a 16 system. But Hakata, if you all read my book, Throwing the Bones, I explain that. They're really, you will find people who will say, Hakata is a degenerate system that Arab traders brought in and these degenerate Africans came up with this simplified version. And then other people go, no, it's an African system and Arabs picked it up and developed it in the Middle Ages. But we don't really know, and so we're just going to not fight, okay? We're just going to not fight. But there are some interesting, I mean, a whole book on the 16s would be a fantastic book, you know. I look forward to you writing that, Ali. Because, no, really, you know, most of the books on geomancy that are out there, and there are a few, the Geomancy for Beginners and some of those like that, which we stock in the store, most of them do not talk about exactly what you're talking about. They present a system, like, you know, astrogeomancy. Okay, here it is, you know. But and Les Cross invented it, and he did a good job of inventing it. But everybody doesn't take the historical basis that you do. And I love you for that, Ali. Yeah, I really do.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
All right, so that URL is in the chat room where they can go to your site, right, which is?
Yeah, you can go just to theconjureman.com or conjuremanali.com, and it'll have a link to my blog and all the goodies there.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's really great. Well, let's bring on our delightful guest. Delightful guest.
Hi, guys.
Welcome.
Hi. The reason I introduced you that way, Nadia, was you probably don't know this, but there used to be an old show called What's My Line? It was on TV. And they would have celebrities, and they would not. The celebrities would be try to guess who the guest was, and some of the guests were celebrities, and some of the guests were just people with weird occupations. And they brought on Zsa Zsa Gabor as a guest, and it is a nice comparison. Well, then the people who had to guess had to wear blindfolds, and one of them was Ernie Kovacs, and of course, Ernie Kovacs and Zsa Zsa Gabor were both Hungarian, and but Ernie Kovacs really was born in the U.S. and he spoke Hungarian kind of like the way his parents, you know, kind of like speaking Yiddish as opposed to really, you know, speaking German or whatever. And so the guest is trying not to, of course, give away her Hungarian accent. And finally, Ernie Kovacs, you know, says something like blah blah blah, and he blurts out something in Hungarian, and she goes, "What?" Because she literally thought his Hungarian accent was bad, and it's funny. But I was playing the part of Ernie Kovacs trying to guess the name of our delightful guest. I'm sorry, it's just an old blast from the past. But your accent.
That is good. I hope that I am a person with a weird occupation that's going to grow up into a celebrity. So I love
you.
Nice.
Well, you do. Your accent is part of your charm, my dear. It is.
Oh,
don't ever lose that beautiful. Don't ever lose that beautiful Russian accent. Because it is who you are. You know, it's the beauty of you. So how have you been, sweetheart, since the last time we talked?
Oh, my goodness. I've been insanely, insanely busy, just loving every moment of it, but super, super busy, swamped by straight after the workshops, which were phenomenal, and I enjoyed being there. It was just absolutely awesome event. That week, after coming back from the workshops, I flew out to Chile for 2 weeks to shoot a documentary. And then I came back and went, started my summer semester, and I'm now in the midst of editing and finalizing that film, which is going to be just really, really, really good. I'm so excited about it and really, really happy for the opportunity to do that. But I've been just editing nonstop. So that's been kind of what's on my mind now, I thought that that's kind of one of the things that I wanted to talk about. How do you stay focused?
Wonderful. Well, I'm really intrigued by seeing all of the world travels you've done. Now, as a Gemini, you undertake so many different forms of training in so many different places, and certainly staying focused is something that a Gemini needs to work on.
Right? Oh yeah. So someone like me, who is a triple Gemini, it's I think triple work to try to stay focused and fight the desire of wanting to be everywhere at the same time. But there are tricks. There are tricks.
Well, why don't you start? I'll tell you something. Every time we have a guest and they bring a panel discussion, I usually jump in and say, "Let me introduce this. I have something to say." But you know, as a Taurus, I have almost nothing to say about this.
Yep.
guys, you're going to leave me alone to talk about it. Two Tauruses and a Gemini talking about
hold on, honey. I've got Gemini rising, so I can pretend and play someone who is not focused. I had a mother who was a Gemini. I learned how to be a Gemini kinda from her for about 5 minutes at a time.
Tauruses have their own issue with focus. It's not that it's that we can't focus. What it is, because Taurus is notorious, Taurians are notorious for being lazy. That's why we keep busy. Someone like Ms. Cat and myself, we have like 10 different projects going on at once, because the reality is that if we don't have a project, then we have a natural proclivity to graze and relax. So we don't have to focus.
I mean, for me, work is everything, so I don't understand
exactly.
That. Somebody asked, Fiona asked in the chat room, and I guess we need to always bring the audience along with us. Fiona asked, what is a triple Gemini. So for those who don't understand our little astrology speak,
mm-hmm.
when we say someone is a Gemini, we say their sun. What we really mean is that their sun is in Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
At the time when they were born, you can draw a map. And the map is unlike an Earth map, which has north at the top. An astrological map has south at the top. It's a convention that dates back to the Middle Ages. We've always done it that way, and we always will. So that means on the left-hand side of the chart is east, because star charts are upside down. And the east, what sign of the zodiac is rising, will tell you really what time of day it is. So if your sun is at mid-heaven, you were born at noon. It's a map of the way the sky looked on the day you were born. So Gemini rising, she means her sun is right around dawn. She was born within an hour either way of sunrise. Right? That's how she's a double Gemini. Now, the moon goes around the Earth, but it looks like it goes around, you know, the whole sky. I mean, we look outward, and we say, well, the moon is in Gemini for 2.5 days at a time. Next 2.5 days, someplace else. Every 28 days, it comes back around. So the day that our dear Madam Nadia was born, the sun was in Gemini, the moon was in Gemini, and she was born at dawn with Gemini rising. Now, we don't know, is her sun conjunct her moon? They might be far apart. Are they conjunct, hun?
You know, I don't remember. I need to check it out. I haven't looked into chart for such a long time. But I'll check it.
Well, if she has, check it. See, because if she has if her sun is in the first house versus her sun in the 12th, it'll be something different, whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what it means to be a triple Gemini. So she's more Gemini than most, I guess, is what we need to say. All right, so I hope that was a good answer that people understood. All right, so let's go on. Inspiration and focus. You take it away, baby.
Well, you know, talking about Geminis, I am also a person who likes to have several pots in the oven or whatever, cameras on hand or whatever, however you want to call it. I enjoyed this process very much, and the creative process is something that comes very natural to me. I'm a creative, and it kind of spills into any area of my life. But then when there is a lot of this thing sort of looming together and coming, if it's Mercury retrograde and I have a lot of Mercury influence in my life, then it becomes almost like, whoa, 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 wait a second. There is a lot going on. What's going on? How I'm going back. How I'm centering myself. Just need to take a breath for a second. And actually, this conversation happened not very long ago. I think, Ali, you remember, I emailed you, and I was like, wait a second. What's going on? You're the caller. Give me a suggestion. And that his suggestion worked really well for me, just focus on one thing, which I forget to focus. But then I started pulling out from my hoodoo arsenal all these little things, you know, the herbs, the oils, my meditation practices, in order to help me focus on a project, but not just focus on it, also do my best, make it very successful, make it attractive to other people, and make it attractive to me, because you know how Geminis are. You know, we are attracted to a lot of things, but very quickly we move on. So, you know, I don't want to move on until I'm ready to do that. And so this is where the thought about focus came in. And I also think that focus to me is very much connected to creativity, and I do a lot of work for people for success in business success and show business and working with other creative people. So I thought it would be interesting to talk about that as well, what kind of suggestions we have for people who want to grow themselves, their careers in creative businesses.
Mm.
So that's kind of my intro to that.
Well, you know, I'm gonna comment here via Doc Murphy. She says it's funny how unfocused most people are. That's the darn truth.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people. I get a lot of calls. I get a lot of calls from people who want a reading, and one of the things they ask is, "How can I focus?" And I'm like, "What?" So the only tricks that I know for it are the simplest ones that I learned from the spiritualist church, namely to light a white candle, concentrate on that, you know, ask for guidance, ask for a vision. Sometimes I find it easy if I'm, like, got six things to do, how do I pick the one I want? I was told a long time ago, pick two and compare them. Now, that's not hoodoo. That's just what I was told. Pick two and compare them. If you have to, write them all down. You've got six things to do. Write them all down on six slips of paper and grab two at random. Which one do I like best? Put the one you like best. Put the other one to one side. Now pick another one at random. And you just find out which one the winner is, because if you reduce all focus to two choices, God, this sounds like a Taurus, doesn't it? I'm sorry. Jesus. I'm sorry. That was just straight out of Taurus. So if you reduce all multiple problems to two, then you'll never have that problem again. Problem solved. All done.
Well, see, when a Gemini comes through it, it's like, well, how do I clone myself so I can do all six of them at the same time and then go play? yeah. It doesn't work sometimes, but sometimes you really have to do your pick and choose, which is a great advice and a very good psychological approach, I think, to reducing your tasks.
Here's the deal. Light a white candle, write them all on slips of paper, and the one you don't choose, you burn. Now I've made it simpler for you. You can't go back once you burn it, right? You're left with one unburned choice. You put it under your candle.
Yeah.
You're done. All right. But let's talk about the person who does have scattered energy. Bay leaf is one of the things that we always use. You know, bay leaf is used to, in fact, hey, I'll even refine that further. Instead of writing them on paper, write them on six bay leaves. How about that? Burn the bay leaf. Thus is a new spell born. You heard it here first. That was Kat's focus spell.
That's going to be, someone's going to write that down and years from
write
now.
Write it down, folks.
Copyrighted, because I'm sure that in a couple of days it's going to show up my godmother in, you know,
my grandmother
or something taught me how to do this focus spell and be like, actually, no.
Y'all heard it here first. Well, you know, root work is a living tradition. And my grandmother probably didn't do it. But you know what she's saying is true. There's all these fakers coming around. My grandmother. Oh yeah, in my family we always said, you know, it was so strange that Kat mentioned that bay leaf spell. My grandmother taught me that.
Yeah.
Well.
You
all right. Well,
memory as well.
You give one now. You tell me one. Give us some idea of what you would give a person who needed to decide. Let's say they want to know, should I stay in nursing school? Should I, start a home business selling crochet on Etsy? Or should I move to Hawaii? And that's, you know, pretty close to a real question for somebody. Now, past the divination, I mean, you can do the divination, but let's say that the real problem, that the divination shows their real problem, is that they just can't decide, and they want you to decide for them, okay? What would you give them as a self-empowering trick to try to get them to turn it back on themselves? You know what I'm saying? Instead of doing it for them.
Well, one of the things that I think would work really well, and because I'm going to go a little bit away and say, I like when people make their own decisions. I like to enlighten them and help them and divine for them, but I really want them to be able to take responsibility and make their own decisions. And in order to do that, I think that the visual representation, kind of like the bay leaf, of writing it on something and working with the elements, working with fire, working with water, whatever it is, on their own is going to be very powerful, and they will feel like it's their experience, and this experience is also connected to spirit. So I think in this situation, what I would say to them is that write the three choices as well on pieces of paper and put a little lighted charcoal and put some sandalwood, burn some sandalwood, and then burn each one of those papers. So set it on fire. in some safe dish, but don't touch it after that. Okay? Let it burn on its own. And make contract with spirits before you start doing it that the piece of paper that's not going to burn completely is your direction, is where you go. And sit there, meditate, and see what you have left with. And in addition, if you are thinking about geographic moves, like, you know, do I move to Hawaii? Do I move to California? I would actually write my petitions on a map. So a map of California, you know, or part of a map. You know, take a map of the United States and take that piece out and write on it. Because I think the more we make it concrete, we can communicate with spirit easier, and we also understand it on a better level, because it's very easy to get into philosophy and talk ourselves into things, but then sit in the end of it and be like, wait a second, so was it, you know, California? Was it Hawaii that I'm supposed to go to? Wait a second, now, you know, now I'm really confused. And this way that there is a proof, you know, that, that is there. And you can, I like to reuse my mind, say I have this paper left, that now I know where I'm going to go. Now I'm going to use it as part of my mojo bag, right? Or now I'm going to put it on my under my lodestone because this is where I'm moving, you know. So you're carrying that energy. You're carrying that focus into the next spell, if that makes sense.
That's beautiful. That's, no, that makes a lot of sense. I want to say something about the idea of burning papers, like you said, and seeing which one is the least burned. That's the one you're going to choose. That reminds me of something that's in the Trolldom book by Johannes, Dr. Johannes. There is a lot of divination that is done by heating things, metal or coals, in and dropping them into water. And the one that hisses the most loud is the one that's the right choice. I love that. It's a very European thing, the one that hisses the most loudly. So, Ollie, how do you... I know you don't have any trouble with focus, but Ollie, what would you tell somebody who had trouble with focus?
Well, there's a couple things here. I'm going to take a slightly different route. Rather than decision-making, right, like what should I do first, I tell people to do a few things. First and foremost, and this can also be a little bit of a Mercury in retrograde trick. We seem to have some Mercury problems anyway. Whenever there is an issue with communication, decision-making, or anything like that, or even a Mercury in retrograde problem, I often bring in Saturnian energy. There's nothing that quite brings stability like the power of Saturn. Getting a Saturn candle going, anything like that. They were talking about Capricorns here, list making, right? Just a little trick I use. Now, alternatively, when it comes to having to do multiple things, as a guy who takes on multiple projects at once, I need to be able to get things done, and I have clients who want to do that as well. I tell them to make a list, right, of all the things that they need to get done. Right? I need to get this project done, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do this, and then they're going to make that into a packet, and they put bay leaf in there, they put five-finger grass in there, they put dragon's blood in there, and they fold that up, and they anoint it with a little bit of Crown of Success Oil. Crown of Success Oil has bay leaf in it. It works wonders. I swear by Crown of Success. And what they're supposed to do is, as they go about their day, every time they accomplish the work, they open the name paper up, cross off the list. So it's a magical list that you carry with you, and you go about and do your work. And then for mental focus, because you can make all the lists, you can call upon Saturn with all your power, and you can walk around with this little name paper, but if your mind is scattered and all over the place, it's not going to do you particularly, you know, any good, especially if you're trying to do something that requires you to sit down and focus for your time, not just accomplishing, like, oh, I need to go to the bank and do this, but you need to write something, or you need to edit something, or there's a project. I always recommend some type of a tea, sweet basil and lemon, for example, is good. Lemon, any type of lemon scent or lemon taste will clear the mind of clutter. Basil will bring serenity and bring focus. So some type of lemon basil tea while you're doing the work.
That's lovely. That's very lovely. Wow. And we all have such different approaches. And I think, you know, ultimately, as a professional practitioner, my approach is if you can't make up your mind what you want to do, or if you can't focus, just come to me and I'll tell you what to do. Now, I know that sounds really odd, but that has been my solution for my clients. All right, you can't do it. I know how to focus. I know how to. I know what your path should be. I'll just take care of it for you. Sometimes they give me kickback and they go, no, no, that's not what I want to do. And then go find someone else to tell you. But I realize that I don't have a large repertoire of that kind of work. I don't think this is my specialty. I think I look at it always as a problem for that individual. I will solve the problem for them, and then they should obey or comply. And if they did, their problem will be solved, right? And as I've gotten older, I've gotten more and more kind of curmudgeonly about it. People will say things like, yeah, right, me too. You know why I use that word? Someone in Yelp, you know Yelp, that review site, that horrible review site where everybody just writes fake reviews and bad reviews? And someone said I was a curmudgeon. They said the owner is a curmudgeon, meaning me. So now I wear it proudly. I am a curmudgeon. I don't know what it means. Curmudgeon is like sort of, it's like a person who's a cur, but they carry a cudgel. I don't know, a curmudgeon. And they're in the mud. You know, it's one of these weird words. I don't even really know its derivation.
Mud. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it's like a, yeah, right. Well, I'm a curmudgeon. Anyway, as a curmudgeon, as an officially Yelp-certified curmudgeon, I do take that attitude saying, I don't want to hear your whining. You got a problem? I'll tell you what I would do. And you know I've been able to solve that kind of problem because look at my life. My life's doing pretty well. So I have other problems, but that ain't one of them. So follow me. I will lead you through the wilderness of your mind and now onward and upward with the arts. I know that's a pretty curmudgeonly way to deal with it. That is why I do not advertise myself as a specialist in that. It ain't my, but you know, if they come to me with a love problem, that's terrible. And it's true, I really do have a lot of emotion about love problems because I've had love problems. I understand love problems. I want them to have help and get what they need. Isn't that funny? You know, we all do have our specialties, and I always thought of myself as a jack of all trades, but I'm not really. And inspiration and focus, you know what I would say to them? Take a caffeine pill, for God's sake. Something. Here, I have these penguins. These caffeinated mints. Here, I sell them in the store. Just eat three of them. You'll be fine.
This is not something that you focus. Is not something you have struggled with. You know, you're one of those sources that are right on. You know exactly where you're going. You need to know exactly what you need to do. And you know, it's not the
right
about.
One of the things that I'm thinking about as I'm listening to your guys' discussion about it is that what happens if somebody took your focus away, I mean, magically. And usually what I see in my cases, it's not so much if somebody sees them burn black candles on the client, but let's say the client gets a little bit of success, people start getting jealous, and boom, you know, something disappears from the equation. They cannot achieve whatever they've been doing anymore, you know, or they're stuck in a certain place, you know, whether it's their mind
or
whatever
up.
It is.
That would show up in a divination as an attack, and that's different. You are right, though. There are examples and cases I've run across in which someone loses their steam because someone basically cut the ground out from under them. That's a kind of a mixed metaphor, sorry. But, you know, someone takes them down, evil eye or whatever jinx is put on them, and then they become confused in mind, says Ollie, who just posted that, And that's a different, but, you know, you'll see that. You'll see that. My old, a trick, which I'm going to say, and then we really do need to get to our readings, but I do want to say one more thing. Mrs. Hare, the lady who taught me card reading when I was a kid and taught me numerology and a few other major forces, Mrs. Hare, and I've mentioned this many times, when people said they needed to get ahead of business and they couldn't, she would always say, do you have a business card? If they don't have a business card, we are back to square one. And I just had a reading the other day with a man. He says, well, you know, of course, he wants to do an online site. He has a website. He has a business card. He goes, but, you know, nobody uses business cards anymore. I don't know what to do with them. And I'm like, because I was wondering how to dust them. I said, well, you've got a website and you send out packages. Don't you put a business card in every package? He goes, no. I'm like, well, that's why you dust your you dust your business card so it'll go in the package so people will touch it. And he's like, oh, I never thought of that. Yeah. Well, anyway, there
every
you go.
Time
just, I mean, you could dust the wrapping paper, but...
Someone goes to a restaurant, you know, bring your business card. If you leave a nice tip, leave a couple of your business cards right there with your tip. It doesn't matter what kind of food you're eating. You know, it's going to start moving between people and people that you would not otherwise be able to access. So,
that's right.
Why not?
That's right. So what I looked at, though, with him was ultimately what it turned out was that he actually had a lack of willpower, which is similar to a lack of focus. Or maybe that's me. Maybe he had a lack of focus, and I see it as a lack of willpower. I'm not sure. I may be blind on that one. Well, I'm sorry. I contributed almost nothing to this discussion because, you know, this is one of those where me in my Aspergian way say, I don't get it. I don't get it. So, sorry.
I think you did contribute. You don't think you could.
Oh, the bay leaf. Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, that's a decision-making, as you said. But I'm going to tell you, folks, if you have a problem with inspiration and confusion of mind and lack of focus, go to Madam Nadia because she knows what to do about it. because Madam Nadia...
And if you misbehave, I'll send you to Kat.
Right.
She'll tell you what
cards,
to do.
Go to Kat. You know, sweetheart, I think you know this, but I don't know if the whole world knows it. I used to sit around and typeset business cards. I mean, I used to work for a printer. That's what I did. I typeset business cards for people. I love designing business cards. Hey, you could hire me to, you know, you can hire me to design your business cards if you, you know, and I'll dress and bless them for you.
I think somebody
new
root should
work
have
service.
This job for real. Some graphic designers can make a fortune out of that. You know, I'm not just making your business cards. I'm making it the hoodoo way. I'm blessing it, and I think business
well, your
cards
business
are awesome
card.
And powerful. Yeah,
Madam Nadia,
yeah,
your
yeah.
business card is phenomenal.
Oh yes, I love your business card.
I got blessed by amazing clients. And had a help with one girl that is a mutual friend. She is a big, I think she's your student actually now, Kat. And she helped me to come up with the logo. I kind of threw at her all the stuff that I wanted to thought about. And she really quickly realized that I also want to make like a sigil out of it. And so she worked really hard back and forth, and then she came up with that, and I just absolutely love my business card. I can do magic, just me and my business card, no matter where I am in the world. If I have candles,
yeah.
if I have water, if I have herbs, whatever it is, you know, I just need that business card, and things are going to be better.
That's you got it. You got the best business cards in the business. All right, well, we're running late now, and but I enjoyed this a lot, although, like I said, I didn't really contribute, but that was fun. Now, we're going to go to our readings. Let's get Ms. Tammy Lee in here and get us set up for the next segment here.
Well, yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat, and y'all, we have about 42 minutes remaining in today's Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. And y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Countryman Ali, and this week's very special guest from air, Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by the area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client. Our first client is Jason from Fresno, California, from area code 559. Jason, are you there, caller?
I am, yes.
Great. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our hosts know that this is the first time that you've actually been on the show. However, back in 2011, you did have a Kimbanda reading with Kundramental Lee, and he writes, "My husband's ex is a hateful, vengeful person. He's created a fake Facebook account to stalk me and leave me nasty messages about my husband, especially about the part of my husband cheating on me. He's immersed himself into my husband's life, my befriending friends and family, and turning them against him, my husband. I want to have your help to get rid of this person once and for all. Please help." Turning it back over to you.
Well, wow, okay. I don't think we need to do a reading on this. You guys agree? This is not a reading question. This is a root work question.
Let's get the weapons
out. And I think
out.
That's great. So let's just, put the cards aside and let's just go. And especially if if you're familiar with readings and you've had readings before. So, Jason, let's get a little bit of more information here just really quick. Your husband's ex, do you know what sign that person is?
He's a Gemini.
Sorry. All right. What sign is your husband?
A Gemini.
Oh, yeah. Dare I ask, and what sign are you?
I'm a Leo.
Aha. Okay. Yeah, you're the one who's got the both the pride and the faithfulness and the interest and respect to fix this situation. These Geminis. Okay. So you're the one who is going to defend your husband and also get rid of the nasty ex. Okay. That's good. I like that. All right. So my first advice to you is to ask, have you ever done root work before?
I have, yes, in the past.
Okay. So if I mentioned, say, something like a mirror box or a freezer spell, you'd know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, yes.
Oh, good. All right. Have you tried any of those things on the X?
I have not, yes.
All right. So we're going to start with something real simple. The X is a gossip, and the X is creating fake Facebook accounts and stuff like that. Now, so the ex is operating through the spirit of air, happens to be a Gemini, but is operating through voice and through electronics and the spirit of air. So I normally would say, hey, make a freezer box, or I would say, put them in a mirror box, and those are good things to do. But I'm thinking Gemini, and I want that air to be the turn on the guy. I think you should make some kind of a mirror box, but instead of a mirror box, we're going to make a vacuum box, okay? Seriously, a vacuum box, okay? Because that's using the spirit of air against an air sign person. Now, Professor Porterfield demonstrated his miraculous vacuum packing, dehydrating, blah, blah equipment at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, and he blew my mind with this thing. It's not that expensive. You just go and get them for, they're called preppers, people who prepare food in advance. You have a canning jar. You put this thing on. Whoop, out goes the air, and the thing is sealed. You don't even have to heat it, right? You know what I'm talking about?
No,
so
I don't.
If you don't, Professor Porterfield will tell us later. Just go to ProfessorPorterfield.com and ask him, or look up vacuum packing preppers. It's a seal a meal, says Professor Ames. But you can do it. You get an attachment, and it does it on a canning jar. Okay? Now, you're going to make a doll baby of this person, or just get their picture off of Facebook or whatever, and you're going to put into this jar all of the things that you want done to this person. You know, some hot red pepper, some alum to shut them up. You can just whatever you want to do. Okay? You know how to do it. You're already familiar with some of this work. You're going to mix it all together, make some sort of concoction with all of the anti-speech things that you can imagine. So like I said, alum, hot red pepper, and you might also use a couple of other more, you know, painful-y things like mandelroot, which sticks to high heaven, and, you know, maybe a little bit of asafoetida, and maybe a little bit of this and that and the other, some goofer dust, whatever. And you're going to put this in with this person's token. It could be a doll. It could be a whatever you got of them. And you're going to put it in a little jar, and you're going to get one of these little vacuum things. And trust me, they're every... Oh, fire ant, says Jellyfish Writing Thing. Yeah, yeah. Fiona says hot sauce in the chat room. No, 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 because if you have a liquid, you're going to end up with a smushy mess. You want this to be dry. And you're going to vacuum pump this thing out till all the air is gone, right? And it seals. And now this person is, and now you can shake that thing. Shake that thing, and you go like, you're in there with no air. Nobody's going to listen to you, right? They're sealed up. That was my spell. Now I'm going to turn it over to Madam Nadia.
Thank you.
Oh, okay, Jason. So you're here is a Gemini. Understanding your the two other parties in your story, and one thing that people who know astrology who are Geminis or dealing with Geminis know that there is sort of one thing that will turn us on or turn us off, and it's messing with our minds. Okay, this is how we work through our mind, and if you can't have access to the mind of the person you're working on, you have an ace right there. And what I would suggest, and it depends how far you want to go with it and how technologically savvy you are. Are you technologically savvy? Like recording things,
yes.
Editing, you are beautiful. So what I would do is that I would take that representation, the doll baby. You know, if you listened to last week's show, there was some beautiful suggestions of skulls and drills. Whatever you do on him, you are going to use that, but you're also going to record yourself. You're going to record yourself saying all kinds of nasty things, you know, whatever his name is, Joe Schmo, I fuck you up. From now on, you will not be able to open your mouth. Any negative thought you have about me will give you headache, you know, whatever it is. Every thought about my husband is going to make you not be able to use your dick for the next week. You come up with anything that you want, and you record yourself saying that. And after you recorded yourself, you can either use that recording and play it to your doll baby, to your bag, whatever it is. You loop it, and you just play it over and over and over and over again. But if you want to be a little bit more ballsy than that, you chop that fucker up, and you put it in all kinds of backwards and forwards, whatever you have as a sound file, you put it back together, and you send it to him. And you know that he is going to turn it on, because Geminis cannot say no to stuff like that. He will turn it on, and he will listen to that. And that will go straight into his head. Believe me, it will go straight into his head. And that's going to be some nasty stuff, but I think you're going to enjoy it.
I gotta just jump in before we go to Ali. A couple things here. Somebody suggested for the vacuum spell, tarantula exoskeletons, really great idea. Dried scorpions, great idea. absolutely good. And then the other thing about this curse that Madam Nadia is talking about, Jeffrey Vanderson did a curse like this on somebody with YouTube. And what he did was he made a series of YouTube videos that were numbered, and they contained the curse, spoken, or actually it was sung language, it was a song, and it showed pictures of really evil, evil tarot cards, and it was really, really bizarre, okay? That's another way to do it. Just put it on YouTube and let everybody know about it. It's, you know, pretty amazing. All right, let's turn it over to Ali.
You know, what I would do in this situation is I would make a doll baby, but I would make the doll baby from some type of clay, harden it, and then I would hang it upside down If you have a ceiling fan, all the better. I like ceiling fans, and the reason I like them is it actually goes back to not ceiling fans themselves, but the idea of tying a doll baby or a person to something circular that you can spin, sound in powwow magic, and Virginian conjure. So you spin, and the idea is this is used against thieves, this is used against anyone that you want to make run in circles and get caught up. For someone like this, you want them to get caught up. I would baptize it in his name, but I would also stick all the photos from all the profiles inside the wax, right? And I would hang it from the ceiling fan, and I would leave that ceiling fan on and make him go in circle and circle so that he is constantly circling himself, screwing himself over. Underneath this, I would have incense going. Incense because he's a Gemini, incense because of air. I would get some destruction incense so that he is being smoked in there. And I would do that for a period of days. And then what I would do is I would take that doll baby and put it in a jar with bitter aloes, vandal root. I would put it in there with alum, peppers, and twitch grass, also known as couch grass. Twitch grass is to get into his mind and to really screw him up. And then you're going to take this to a crossroad where you have the doll baby inside with the inside of the jar. Then you take a nice big hammer, and this is after you've made him nice and dizzy, disoriented, confused in the mind so that he's, you know, giving himself up and he's screwing up and he's falling over himself. You're going to take that hammer and you're going to shatter it in the crossroads, and then you scatter the remains and say, I scatter this person to the four corners of the world that he may never gather himself again to plot against me.
Wow. Okay. I love that. That's great. Well, between those, hon, you've got a bunch of things you can do with that doll, and then there's the conclusion, shatter that thing. So that now go back to the beginning, and you can make that doll out of something that will crack. That's what you got to make. You can't use a cloth doll for that. Now you understand. So,
right. You got to use clay, hard enough.
Clay, and or you can buy even a porcelain figure or something like that. Whatever it is that you're going to get, but clay is the best for this particular thing. But you can run it through all of those different things that we've all talked about, and they all work together, and they culminate at the end with destruction. All right, I hope that satisfies you, because that's some good work. All right,
yeah.
Let's turn this over to Ms. Tammy Lee.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am, it's Kat. And y'all, we're going to go ahead and just do a real quick break here. And support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Our next client is calling in from area code 305 from Miami, Florida, my old stompy ground. This is Sin. Sin, are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm here.
Great.
Can you hear me?
Welcome to the show. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that you have not been on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. However, you have gone to several members from AIR, including Dr. E, what appears to be Dr. J. I'm assuming that's Dr. Johannes,
yeah.
Mama Star, and Miss Elvira, okay? And she writes, there is a person who keeps blocking me from marriage, a child, and happiness with the one that I am with now, and I have been having so much bad luck. Turning it back over to you.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh. So, she's turning it over to me, hon. So, Sin, again, we don't have a reading, okay? This is good. I mean, we're fine with just doing root work consultations. And I sometimes...
Well, wait, I needed to know if they had done something to me now because of the bad luck. I'm thinking they have, but I don't know. The grandmother.
Okay, well, wait a minute. All right, so now that wasn't your question. So what is the question? There's a grandmother,
no.
And you think they may be blocking you from marriage, and now you want a reading on that?
Yes. I mean, right now what's going on is, I mean, things have been progressing through the people that have helped me, and then I keep getting blockages, which I think is the grandmother, and it might be now the granddaughter who's living with us, and she's causing us to fight, me and the person. you know, over and over, we keep fighting over her living there. So I'm trying.
Okay.
I would want to get out. But.
Got it. All right. We got it. All right. So, Ollie, how about a quick reading on it? Is that what's happening, or is this just a coincidence?
That's a good question. In honor of Madame Navia being on the radio show, I have my Kapala out. Since the three
Yay!
Kapala owner. And I have my Kapala filled with water, and I'm looking into it and scrying with it. And I do see storm clouds that are gathering, and I see storm clouds that hide lightning within it. There's flashes of it, but I can't see it clearly. This is an indication of something hidden, of work that's being done, of destruction that is there. I see a fight, arguments, I see tension, I see stress. I see a person who is working in the shadows, a person in all black, an older person. So this confirms the suspicions of the client that there is this individual that is working in the shadows, working against her. I don't see magical work, though. This is for me. I'm not getting an impression of someone working roots. This seems more psychic, psychological, and manipulative more than anything else. I don't see someone lighting candles, for example. Instead, I see a tongue that is speaking. So this is manipulative. There is a very clear psychic impression here as well, the person who's able to dominate psychically someone else. So just a very quick reading. The answer is yes. The bad luck that you are experiencing is magical and spiritual in nature, but it's not someone casting curses on you. It's someone who is manipulating the situation and making it worse through psychic and psychological means.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
is
right.
Is there any way we could see if
so,
that's the daughter or the grandmother?
All right. Well, now it's my turn.
Older
so we're going to.
Sorry.
He said older. So now it's my turn to do a reading. And I'm going to tell you, frankly, you're wasting your time getting readings on this because we already know what's going on. But I will do a reading. I think what you should do is start root work on it. But that'll be our next guest. Okay. So what I have here, oh, God. I have here the High Priestess card. This is a card that my old teacher, Mrs. Hare, would always say, when this card comes out first in a row, you better listen to your card reader, honey. Because it ain't you. That one's me. So this is a person who gives good advice. You need advice. You need a helper. You need someone to guide you through this situation. There are indications on this card that the person who would help you, and you may need a root worker to help you, would be a bit older than you, would be have had children, and would be a person who may be of a different ethnicity or culture than you are. That's all based off the High Priestess card. Second card here is tells me that, in fact, there has been some conflict, but again, I'm not seeing a spell casting per se. In other words, what I'm seeing is good old sociological disturbances. And the card here is the Seven of Wands, and this is a card that shows a person who's on a hill, a little bluff, and there's attacks from below. So it tells me here that you are being attacked and there is conflict, but this card is not usually the card of a curse. It usually is the card of gossip, argumentativeness, manipulation, attack from below. In other words, the person who's attacking you does not have the spiritual standing that you would see if this was a curse. But you also have the third card, and it's another conflict card, and this is the Five of Wands, and it shows people hitting each other with sticks. And so you are sometimes being dragged into this, you and you know, others who are being manipulated into having conflict. So what starts off as an attack ends up as a free-for-all. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's the daughter that lives with us, but... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I'm seeing here is if anyone is doing it, What he said was there was an older person involved. I think
right, the
that
grandmother,
basically
the grandmother, but it's putting the daughter in between us, and he has to choose
yes,
her. Yes,
exactly.
His
that's why what we're seeing
yeah.
is a yeah, it's a free for all conflict.
We fight.
So you're going to
yeah.
have to clear up that conflict, but it has been done primarily through social manipulation rather than through, you know, burning candles in secret.
Mm-hmm.
There is a curse, but it's the kind of curse that's evil intention rather than symbolical magic. Let's turn it over to Madam Nadia and see if she can give you a recommendation for how to calm the situation, possibly make it better.
Or
okay.
get the daughter to move out.
Let me understand the situation better. So you're living with, who is the person?
Him. No, my fiancé, his daughter
uh-huh.
is 19, and then my two daughters. We all live in the same house.
Okay.
And I'd like her to move out because we fight over her and her life and how she's not really participating or helping or doing anything. So I'd like her to move out. And then everything
okay.
will be fine.
Okay, so you have several levels of a situation going on here. First of all, you have people who are helping the situation into arguments and things like that. And then from what Kat said, it seems like it starts with a spark and then everybody kind of falls into the arguments and the negative energy pattern. And then you want the daughter to be more contributing and you want in general everybody to be happy and communicate and not to have those arguments, correct?
Right, but I'd like her to move. I think that would be ideal.
You're
okay.
kind of focusing.
So,
you're kind of focusing a lot. I'm sorry. I just have to interject.
Yes, I agree
you're
with you, Ali.
You're focusing a lot on the daughter, not realizing that there is forces that are moving the daughter. And I understand you want her to move, but this is a delicate situation. Getting in between your fiance and his daughter is going to be tricky.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can't make her move. I'm just saying you got to be careful and don't fix it.
Yeah.
Yes. And sometimes when you try to move. That kind of a person just quickly, like, hustle them or whatever, the situation just gets worse. So what I want to tell you, and this might sound like the opposite of what you want to do, but what I want you to do is I want you to start with sweetening. First of all, stick a vanilla bean into your sugar jar and keep that sugar jar on the center of the table and pray over the sugar jar that everybody in the family who takes from the sugar is sweet to each other. So calming the situation down in simple ways and more difficult and complicated ways, you can create a honey jar, a sweetener jar for everybody in the family. And if I were you, I would include his daughter in there as well. You have to understand it's his daughter. As much as you want your daughter to be with you, he wants his daughter to be there. If she needs to go, maybe find her a job, find her a boyfriend, find something for her and do work on that to get her going on her own will. But I would do a jar, a sweetener jar for the whole family, and I would put things like periwinkle in there. Okay, that's for marriage, for being calm in marriage or in family, things like that. Rose is always good. I would put mint in there to help prevent continuing like curses going against your family, but keeping the family together and essentially putting sweetening stuff in there. You can put some rue in there also to break any kind of negativity. And I would make sure that some of the sweetener, the actual whatever you're working with, goes into your food. So if you make it with sugar, you know, you can make. I like mixing sugar and cinnamon and making my jars like that. Or you can put honey in there. Put a little bit of that as you cook and pray, so there is calmness and peace. Now, going to the other side, and I'm taking a little bit of time with that because I think I don't know if we have a third caller, but what I would do, and talking
yeah.
about psychological sort of warfare, is that when both Ali and Kat were describing their situation after communing with spirit and reading, in my head I saw very clearly puppeteering. So you're a puppet. and your fiancé is a puppet, and there's all these forces and people, you know, not minding their own business and in your business, and that's not a good thing. So the last thing that I would do is that I would create doll babies in the image of you and your fiancé. If you want to include your daughters, do that. I would not. I would just do you and him because you want to get married and you want to have peace in the house. So do two doll babies that you can bait for protection and cleansing because this is a proxy of you now. So the thing is that you want that not only to be something to bless yourself, also if there is an attack on you, that will go to the doll. So you work by proxy even though you and your fiancé are there. And what I want you to do is that when you're making those dolls, attach strings to them so you can have a ritual as if it's a puppet, right? We have a ritual when you're cutting those strings off. So you're liberating yourself, whatever was the brewing underneath all of it, right? The lightning and the darkness and the shadows, all of that is going away. You cut away that cord, and then you start working on cleansing and on protection. Your situation indeed is delicate, and my very strong feeling on it, the more fire you're going to put in that, the more explosions you're going to have instead of having peace. Okay.
Yeah, right. I agree with this, and I know caller, we feel that any spell to cause a parent and child to split and have the child leave under bad circumstances is probably against the best for the child, and therefore God wouldn't like it. So what we want to do is to do what Nadia said, which is to strengthen the child until she grows up, flies right, gets a job, and fully fledged wings her way out of the nest in a nice way. That is your best chance. And there's a good chance that if you try to hotfoot the child, it'll backfire on you, not in the sense of the spell backfiring, but that the conflict will become focused on you as the creator of dissent. So be careful. Relationships, as Madam Nadia says, are complicated, and this is a complex family. There is a section of the Lucky Mojo Forum called Spells for Blended Families, and you might want to look in there. And that's what you need are spells for peace in blended families, okay?
All right.
Good luck to you, hon.
Thank you. Good luck.
All righty. Uh-huh. Now let's turn this back over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is hosted each and every week by Conjurman Ali and our very own Miss Catherine Ironwood from Lucky Mojo. We're going to go ahead and take our next caller straight from the phone lines. This is 210 from San Antonio, Texas. 210, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Great. Well, welcome to the show. And if I could please, ma'am, just two brief questions. Number one, have you ever been on the show before?
No, I've never been on the show. And I'm waiting on a reading from Conjurman Ali, but I kind of wanted to get more clarification on something that I have going on right now.
Okay, great. And if you could, in just two sentences, if you could, please, just give us a two-sentence synopsis with regard to your question for today. Thank you.
And what's your first name? Just so
Beverly.
I know. Beverly. Ah, yes, I know who you are. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Hi. I've been doing all of this work on a couple of individuals, and I feel like it's not leading anywhere, it's not doing anything, and I just kind of wanted to get some perspective on it.
Okay, can you tell us what kind of work it is? Love work, hatred work, death work, get a job work?
Hatred work, like I did on the next partner, I did a 21 candle intricality, and then on the woman that he left me with for, I saw a root worker here, and he showed me how to do like a kind of like a destroy kind of her life, her kind of relationship spell. So I did that. Plus, he had me do like a vinegar jar, and actually, I worked with a babalao. So, but I don't.
Is the babalao the one that has you? That has is having you doing this stuff, the intranquility work and the destructive work and that stuff?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I think so. Well, let's get to the reading because we're short on time. So I guess your question is you've gotten no results, and so you want to know where to go next, or you want to know if this work is going to achieve something.
Exactly.
Okay. All righty. Let's go with Nadia first.
Okay. Beverly, can you tell me the name of your mother? And I'm asking that because I'm going to be reading with the Desta cards. And when you read with Desta, it's kind of specific and you need the name of the person's mother.
My mother, her name is Patty.
Katie.
Okay. Patty. P-A-T-T-I.
P-A-T-T-I?
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. Patty. Okay. Okay. So that's an interesting reading that I got here. I pulled four cards, and one of them, in the Desta deck, there is a whole cosmology that associated with that. There is a forces of evil and forces of good, and the force of evil came up here. So you're definitely messing with some very, very intense energy, very, very strong energy. And this energy is not showing up right now. But it's going to manifest. It's going to manifest in many ways, and you have to be a little careful because what I see here is also that this energy can and probably will manifest on you. So be careful because what I have here is that card Valide, which is the representation of that energy, covered with the card of the clouds upright, which means that right now you don't see it. The sky is bright. There's no clouds. But the clouds are gathering. And on one hand, we have the fox, which you think, I'm very smart. I went through it smartly. I went to the right person to do that. Things are going to be great. However, the other thing, we have the dervish, which is the spiritual advisor or the holy man reversed, which I would be a little bit careful from dealing with that Babalawo, whoever told you to do 21 in tranquility candles on this guy, because I feel that you may be steering something that's bigger than you.
Okay.
And then if shit's going to hit the fan, you're not going to have other people helping you around, okay? So this is my feeling. You're definitely going to see some results from it. You're going to see big results from it. But unfortunately, you might be seeing a backfire of that in your own personal life, okay?
Okay. So is there a way for me to block that?
Well, no, that's a different question. Let's go on to Ollie. Okay.
I think that was a fantastic reading, and I agree with Madam Nadia. I've done a geomancy reading to look at the results of the magical work that you're going to do and where you should be headed next. And so I looked at the eighth house, which rules magic, death, all sorts of things, but in this case, spells as well. And we have a miso loss. This is not an indication of strong success in regards to you being able to get what you want. This is not a card. This is not a figure of victory. This is a figure that indicates the magical work that you're doing is kind of, you're throwing something down a well, but you're not hearing it ever hit the bottom. All right? It's an empty bottomless pit, and the more you kind of throw into it, the more it's feeding something you may not realize. So this is really in line with Madam Nadia. Because I would take time to really reassess the situation and really ask yourself if you want to continue down this path. I can tell you in regards to, you know, successfully getting, because the intranquility spell is about getting someone back. In regards to getting this person back, I don't see it. I don't see it in here at all. I have Tristitia in the seventh house. That's sorrow. I have a miso in the eighth house, that's a loss, you know, and I have, looking at the left witness, which is the future, I have Cauda Draconis, the end of things. This tells me, when I look at all of this, it's time to close the door. It's time to close the door on the situation, as tough as it may be, as difficult as it may be, as painful as it may be. The more you throw at this situation, the more work you do, the more you're opening something up, that's not going to be good for you. So I would say it's time to move on from what I see.
Okay, I'm going to ask a quick question. How long have you been doing this hatred work and intranquility work? When did you start? What month?
Late April.
April. So we've got April, the late April, the late May, the late June, late July would be 3 months. If you don't see anything by late July, I would just give it up into God's hand. Many people, when they do a major work of this type, will say, I'll work for it or look for results for a year and a day or whatever they may say, and that's good. You've done your set your work, let it go. Okay?
Okay.
Now you need to get your happiness. So, you know, your happiness is what's more important than spending your time looking down that well to see if this thing hits bottom. Okay?
Got it.
So now, you know, you've gotten some good advice, and I do think it's good advice. So I'm going to give you an idea for a release from this work. You've done the work. Do you have anything sitting around that are still working that you're still using, like on your altar, candles or any leftover supplies from doing this cursing work?
I have leftover supplies, yes.
Cursing work
is all done.
Okay. On the 3-month anniversary of having started this work, I want you to take all of that material, all whatever it is, paper, powders, incense, oils, whatever it is, I want you to take all of that material, and I want you to get a cast iron pot of some kind, like a, you know, one of those Dutch ovens or a cauldron or whatever you want to call it, and I want you to put all that stuff, and I want you to go outdoors somewhere in nature, a state park where they have little brick barbecue pits or whatever, and just go out there, put that thing on a nice, safe, fireproof area, and pour a little Florida water and burn it. Everything that was associated with this spell. And then I want you to come home. You can bring your cast iron pot back with you, of course. I want you to wash the cast iron pot out, and I want you to take a cleansing bath. I want you to take a bath with hyssop herb, and I want you to say the 51st Psalm, cleanse me with hyssop, though my sins be scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. Then I want you to dust yourself all over with powder. If you like powder, use Van Van powder. Or you can, if you like, prefer to oil yourself, use Van Van oil. Okay? So that's
okay.
What I want for you to do. Then just say, now I open the doors to my next new experience of love and beauty and honor and grace and all the good things of life that have been denied me now will come to me. You've spent your time, your 3 months on the hatred spells. Let them manifest. They might manifest down the road. Sometimes it takes a while. But I would now prepare myself interiorly to receive my blessings. That's what I would do. Van Van is really good for changing your state, okay? And cleanup work is amazing after you've done an evil spell. And, you know, you need to do some change your own state of mind rather than keep on looking, is it working or not, okay?
Okay.
All right. All right. Well, good luck to you. And yeah, all the best. And I think, you know, you got to be careful with this one. That's why I said I want to clean you up a little bit. Nothing, you don't want any edges stuck where bad work can come back and stick to you. All right, we're going to turn this over to Ms. Tammy Lee.
Well, yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. And y'all, we're getting ready to actually hand this over to Madam Nadia, our special guest member from AIR this week, who's joining us from Chicago, Illinois. And Madam Nadia, you're going to be giving us our free spell section today. So turning it back over to you, ma'am.
Okay. Well, thinking about our topic, which is focus, and also adding some sort of creativity and achievement into that, I want to share with you guys a recipe for a lamp that you can set, and I would burn it in the area where you are working, if at all possible. So let's say you're working in your office or you're working in your altar room. Set that lamp there. And I do my lamps with a float and a wick, which was taught to me by a friend, and it's sort of the Greek way. I know that it's also the Jewish way, but you can do it any way you want. You can do it with sort of how regularly we do lamps, right, in hoodoo with oil and a wick in it. And you want to take a bowl that you're going to use for that lamp, and you want to put a few things in there. So first of all, I want you to get a magnet because you want to attract to you all those things, right? You want that focus, you want to attract it and keep it. You want to have success, you want to have achievement, whatever it is, get a magnet. If you are creative, I would suggest get a magnet that's in the shape of a star. You can work with it prior to that. You can paint it, you can paint it gold, you can put a crown on it, whatever you want. But have it, a magnet that's in the shape of a star is a very, very helpful thing. In addition, you can put inside pyrite, or if you have a lodestone that you've been working for this specific area, let's say you're writing a book, right, or a manuscript or something like that, use that, take that lodestone and put it in your in the lamp. You can use that, but just make sure that it's not, you know, size-wise, you be sensible with that. Don't put a huge a lodestone, you know, a couple of pounds into a tiny little bowl, and there's not going to be much room for anything else. In addition, put bay leaves. So the same way we talked about in the beginning of the show, you can write your own prayers or just the word focus on the bay leaves that you're going to put, crumple them up, throw them in. Rosemary, which is really good for memory and focus. Master root, of course. Five-finger grass is something that I'm reaching to all the time, no matter what I'm doing, for success, for crossing, for people opening the right doors for me. Put a pinch in there. Now, I want you to take your something, an image that represents whatever you want, right? What is the end result of this focus, why you're doing it? And print it out and write your petition on that. Burn that petition and add the ashes to your lamp, okay? Add some alkanet, which is really good in reinforcing. Strengthening is going to color it red. And sandalwood, which is really good for wishes. This is the stuff that's going to go inside. You can use whatever oil that you're using. Usually you can do olive oil, any kind of other carrier oil. Add some drops of crown of success, clarity, attraction, things like that. But just be careful. Don't load it up with that kind of oil. Just a few drops at a time. And pray over it and light it. And it's amazing how powerful it is. How quickly it will work and how easy it is to use that also as a focal point. If you're in that room and you're trying to work and you're kind of losing your focus, you look at the flame and it reminds you and brings you back into yourself. So into that place, you know, that you worked with spirit to create, so you have focus and place of clarity to work from. And that's it.
Wow, that's really nice. Now, let's run over that ingredient list. It was sandalwood, rosemary, alkanet, bay leaf, and there was something else we missed. Five-finger grass.
And five-finger
master
grass.
Root. Thank you very much. That was it,
yes.
Master root. Okay,
oh, and
got
one
it.
Thing that I forgot.
In the magnet.
In a magnet.
Mm-hmm.
If you
yeah, right, we got
work
that.
Specific, with a specific saint, like for my work, I usually work with Saint Cyprian and Saint Clare for various purposes. You can dedicate that to them and set, you know, start it on their altar, or make it by their altar, and then bring it to the room or whatever, or set make an altar for them. That's what I do in my office. So
okay, all righty. Well, thank you. That's a really beautiful thing, and I love the idea of looking to it for focus when you need focus. All right, let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she's going to take us out.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from AIR will be Madam Pamita of MadamPamita.com in Santa Monica, California. Once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from tripcrunchconjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
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 And thank you so much, Madam Nadia, for being our guest. Wonderful to have you. And I have a little announcement. Next week I will not be here, and Ali has posted that Deacon Millett will be taking my place. So with Madam Pamita, Deacon Millett, and Conjurman Ali, and I'll try to drop in and just call in and say hi during the, if I can. I probably won't, but I'm going to try. All right. Well, again, this has been a wonderful show, very interesting show to me because we had some interesting calls. And next Sunday, so June 29th, 2014, if you are in the area, come by. Free hot dogs, barbecue chicken, trains, flowers, just a party, just a wonderful party. So everyone is invited, everyone is welcome. No reason for it, it's just a party. All right. And good night, Conjurman Ali. It's been lovely
good
to
night.
Talk to you. Okay. And I will not be sticking around in chat because I got to go plant plants. Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.